Hey, everybody. Welcome to UGA Sports Live Podcast. My name is Roddy DeBulsey. I will be your nominal host. I'm joined by Jake Roos, Dane Young, and, of course, Jim Donnan. The only reason everybody's tuning in is to see the Hall of Famer and get his analysis. Sometimes it's scoopy. Sometimes lets a little thing slip now and then that we don't know about. And he always has the great stories, a great analysis. And we all basically sit around the his rocking chair and we listen to his stories and we come away a lot smarter. So we always appreciate Coach Donnan being with us on an earlier Tuesday than normal. Sorry, folks, we couldn't do it at noon. We had some scheduling issues. We have to jump ahead. And I'll actually be out of town next week. So y'all be sure to tune in next Tuesday at noon because it'll be a hell of a lot better show. Well, I won't be here. It's the ninth, I believe. Yeah, the ninth. Spring practice is 1 week away. I know it feels like it's been forever since we've actually had real football to talk about, especially because for us, the way it normally works out is we have the bowl game and then you have that 5 week period of all of January to the first Wednesday of February, which is signing day. And it's always just been kind of this build up to signing day. But because signing day happens so much more in December now, signing day was just kind of a non-event for UGA. So we've kind of had the build. There wasn't that kind of attention on recruiting like there has been. Now, there should be because Georgia's 2022 class is lights out, and we'll have some stuff later in the show with Jake who went down to Miami because certain players we just can't talk to. They don't pick up the phone as much, so we go to them. And Jake came back with some great scoops and great information. We'll have him talk about that later in the show. But
hey, did you see Isaiah Wilson down there? I feel like he's probably looking for a house, right?
You know, I didn't actually. I didn't run into him. I think he was probably licking the wounds a little bit for that trade. Good Lord.
Brutal trade. But hey, next time we go down there, we know who we can stay with. So
we'll there you
see go. In Miami. And everything is kind of the whole news cycle has kind of been building up to spring because all the analysis we've done, all the breakdowns and stuff, you really got to be excited about what Georgia when the schedule came out. You got, wow, get that one big game against Clemson, and then this is a workable schedule. And you, the additions from the recruiting cycle, the 16 early enrollees that Coach Don has talked about that we've heard about so much, you got to be really excited about this. And next Tuesday's the first day we kind of get them on into spring practice. No spring practice last year. So the enthusiasm for this spring, I think, is off the charts, guys. I'm bouncing around on it. And then the next day, on the 17th, we have Pro Day. Now, I do want to talk a bit about spring practice, but I think it would be a disservice not to mention the great story we had yesterday. Coach Donnan and Dane Young sat down with Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network, and y'all – spoke about every draft eligible Bulldog, and Jeremiah gave where he was going to go. And I think that a lot of what he said will bear out this next Wednesday when Georgia has Pro Day. So Coach, I want to turn to you first. Great job on that interview. I thought that was fantastic. The Daniel Jeremiah get is huge. I mean, for him to sit down and talk 30 minutes on Georgia football is just phenomenal, but also taking what he said yesterday, and everybody go to ugasports.com and check out that story. Taking in what he said, who needs to have a big pro day next Wednesday?
You know, one of the things that I feel like without the combine now, your tape certainly helps you more than it ever has. But the thing you have to do is not have a really poor pro day. I mean, you just can't go out there on one-time shot because you don't have the chance to do it a couple times. Like, you know, in the past, if you didn't do that well at the combine, you could have a good pro day. And now with just the one-time shot, the main thing is just stay up with where you were as far as the eval, whether you played in the Senior Bowl or not. But just don't – it's kind of like a gymnast, you know, having three good routines and then falling on the beam or something, you know, I mean, you just can't go up there and kind of pee down your leg next Wednesday. You've just got to do a good job of building up your potential and knowing that there's that extra added pressure of performing up to the level that you need to. I think you can certainly enhance yourself too with some added times in the 40 times in the shuttle and your weight room performance. And for the fans out there, these guys haven't been sitting around. They've been around these different pro people that their job is to train you. I know you watched the Lawrence thing on the NFL Network when he had his pro day. Well, he had the guy that he'd been working with at quarterback. The same thing's true with these other positions. These guys go out and train with guys to get them ready for the combine, show them how to run the 40, how to work on their starts, how to run the shuttle, the ball drills they'll be doing if they're defensive back. So it's really an audition more than anything. And the other thing that's got to help these kids, I would say, is their ability to function with the Zoom meetings. All year long, they've been involved in Zoom meetings with our staff, and now they're getting the same thing for these different clubs. So how you handle yourself in these meetings where you're not really one-on-one with the guy personally. I know I was talking to a coach last week, and he feels like that his best value is getting on the chalkboard and being able to communicate and being one-on-one. He said he was doing a Zoom meeting from his kitchen trying to get a job. And it just, you know, realistically, that's tough. I mean, they weren't asking him to be on a Food Network or anything, but I mean, you just can't. It's different when you're in the Zoom meeting, you know what I mean? And you got to, it's like we're on it today. So,
yeah.
But I feel good about our players. We don't have a lot of surefire number one guys that can't miss number one guys that, you know, are just going to be right there. We got three that I think could go in the first round, and Alargie, Stokes, and Campbell. But all of them have certain things they're going to have to do a little bit better. I thought one of the real key factors we got out of Daniel, and Dane did a really good job of running the whole thing and setting it up. And, you know, I try to just listen to Daniel, but he was talking about a guy like Aziz, who is really kind of tweener size-wise. Is he really 6'3", or is he 6'2" and a quarter? Is he 238, or is he 250? You know, he said that's a big differential that a guy's going to be how he's drafted. The same thing's true with Campbell and Stokes. You know, how do they do these ball drills? There's no question their speed's overwhelming, but how do they do with the ball in the air like they're going to see them next week? That's going to be a big part of everybody's. So that's kind of way I feel like what's going to happen next week. But as far as the one guy that I think could help himself more than any of them, I would think would be Ben Cleveland. Just could be a workout warrior with his feet and his quickness to go with his overwhelming strength. I think he could help himself a couple rounds if he has a big time workout.
The other thing, too, to account for is the guys that are recovering from injury, because they no longer have Ron Corson on their case saying you need to go to recovery at this time. They're having to rely on their own discipline for those recoveries. So you look at a guy like Richard LeCount, who is coming out of the motorcycle injury, injury suffered from the motorcycle crash. You look at a guy like Malik Herring, who tore the ACL at the Senior Bowl. What does he look like now, you know, a few at this point, months removed from that. And NFL teams will be able to say, all right, these guys are ready for that limelight. You know, one thing I thought that that Daniel Jeremiah said that was interesting to me, when he first broke in as a scout for the Baltimore Ravens, he called them red star prospects. And no matter what round they go in, that's just a guy that you want on your football team. And for Georgia, he said it was Richard LeCount.
Yeah, I thought that was really salient, because all of us know as Georgia people the interactions that Richard has with everybody, the kind of effervescent type personality he's got. Everything about him is just go, go, go. And he's kind of a extension of Kirby Smart. You know, I mean, the fact that early on Kirby used to ride him and get on him, but the better he got and the more he got along with Kirby, the more he became the Kirby Smart on the field type guy for Georgia. And, you know, all coaches at every level are looking for a guy like that that can be part of the team, but, you know, is going to give you best shot all the time, a smart coach on the field. And it was just a tragic thing for him to have that injury, and it really hurt our team, no question about it, even though Smith came in and did well. But we missed his leadership as much as we missed his playing on the field.
But it goes back to, and Jay can talk about this extensively, when Richard LeCount came out of high school, we at Rivals were just hammered for not making him a five-star. We had him as a four-star. We had him as the number 58 player in the nation. And people are like, how can you not have him as a five-star? This kid's got five-star talent all day. And our point was, if you're going to be a five-star in the Rivals rankings, you have to be a guy who's going to, we predict, going the first round. You know, that's what it equates to. It doesn't mean how good will he be in college, how great will he be to your team. He's an absolute leader. There's no question about it. We knew his – I think the fans wanted us to rank him on his red star capability, as Daniel Jeremiah says, his heart, his leadership, his talent, you know. And the guy's a great player. But he's the one I think could do the most to on next Wednesday to show that, hey, I'm not just the red star, good heart, you know, coach extension guy. I'm an absolute baller, you know. And if he goes in the second, third round, that would be about exactly where we had him ranked. And, you know, hey, well, maybe we get one right. Usually we don't. But the point being, we have a situation where Richard LeCount has been in this situation before, where people are kind of questioning his size a little bit. People are kind of questioning, you know, how much can he contribute? And the guy has shown out every time. So I think when all those guys are watching next week, and I noticed that Daniel Jeremiah said the NFL Network would be there. We'll be able to watch it on the NFL Network. I think that's great. And hopefully we'll see a healthy, you know, Richard LeCount out there showing the guys, saying, look, you take a chance on me. My character is unquestioned. My dedication to this, you know, my football knowledge is here. Here's the physical things I can bring to the NFL. Everybody's doubted me. I've never been, you know, this, you know, 6'2" safety, you know, he's 5'10", 5'11". He's not a big guy, but he can play big. And I think he will show that next Wednesday. Coach,
you mentioned the NFL Network is going to be there. Coach offered to go do sideline for it. He said he'd grab a microphone and hop out there.
Hey, I think that would be a perfect marriage for everybody.
You know, the only reason I said that, they said he didn't know if they were going to have anybody. And I said, well, look, you know, I've done those before for ESPN, and I'm certainly not trying to audition, but I feel like I could get a one-on-one.
Audition from the kitchen.
Yeah.
Get a one-on-one with the head coach, though.
I do have to ask you, Coach, about something you said in passing with in the Daniel Jeremiah interview. You mentioned that Ben Cleveland, and, you know, that's your guy said who could do a lot in the pro day. Do you really think he could do 50 reps on that 225 bench?
Well, I mean, that's kind of a legend over there. You know, people are talking about it. I don't know if it's going to be – I don't know if legend's the word about it, but, you know, people are
– It would be legendary, yes.
murmur over there that Ben's going for that 50. They were talking about that back in the summer. So he's certainly capable of it with his explosive strength. And, you know, he's got the arms to handle it too, you know, because at the end your arms start wearing out a little bit. But that's just incredulous that guy could do 50 of those 225 pounds that many times. Would just show you his explosiveness. And Ben really is a great example. And I think Dana and I brought it out talking about it during the year. He coming back this year has really helped his status as far as pro ball. I mean, he made first team all conference. He graded high on Pro Football Focus throughout the year. I mean, you know, the grades we see. And he was kind of an offensive line that was really up in the air. He was the one guy all year that just played all the time. I mean, you know, Hill had some issues. You know, we had a lot of different guys that were up and down. But I've always liked Ben and felt like he was a good player. But I think this year really helped him. And the thing that sometimes we take for granted, we know so much about these guys as reporters like you guys and me as ex-coach, but you got a guy like Daniel Jeremiah, who is a preeminent person in NFL as far as evaluating people, talk about the overwhelming girth and size of this guy when he saw him live for the first time, mentioned he should be on World War, the WWE, he was so big, you know, and he really is an overwhelming presence. And, you know, when you're looking at some of these offensive linemen in the NFL right now, they love that kind of the leverage that you can get. You know, they like the fact that the guy can lean on you, and not so much the first quarter, but the fourth quarter, he's still leaning on you. And so I think Ben's going to make a team, and he's going to do a good job up there. And he's got the character to go with it.
We've mentioned this interview, so let me make sure people know how to find it if they haven't already heard it. If you're on our YouTube channel watching, go back about, I think, one video. It's on our channel, our interview with Daniel Jeremiah. If you're listening on a podcast feed, go back one podcast and you'll hear our interview with Daniel Jeremiah. And then if you want to read it, it is transcribed for members of UGASports.com that published yesterday morning, Monday morning on UGASports.com.
I would add just one other thing and we'll go on to something else, but I felt like when I asked from the great grand poopah, Roddy, permission to do that, that I felt like it was important because of all the up and down about people saying, well, this guy's this guy's that, and particularly local journalists. I just felt, and they certainly know a lot about it, but I felt like that we did have this inside kind of deal with Jeremiah, and he said he would be glad to do it. Just to give everybody a pretty definitive idea of what to expect, because these guys get paid. I don't know what he gets paid, but he's the number one guy for the NFL Network, so he's not just coming out there with some false info. And the overwhelming thing about it, beside the fact that he did it with us, was he had his notes right there, yeah. And it was pretty dang vivid that he had written these guys up and he knew what he was talking about. I knew he would know, but I didn't know he was going to have that in-depth notes on each guy. Going back to 2019 and comparing him to that. So it's no question that, we can toot our own horn or do whatever we want to, but I would think if I'm a member of this website and read about it, I feel like it's a pretty damn good get for UGA Sports to have Daniel Jeremiah tell them about what's going on. And now they can bust somebody's chops when they're down there over there getting something to eat and say, look, this is what Daniel Jeremiah said about this guy, you know?
Yeah, you're right. You won't find that stuff anywhere else. And you expect maybe the national guys to be able to tell you, Tyson Campbell this, Aziz Ojulari that. But when he can go deep into 2019 DJ Daniel tape and he can go deep into Trey McKitty, when he was at FSU versus what he did at Georgia versus what he did at the senior day, that guy knew his stuff. So speaking of some people that know their stuff, I want to give a big shout out to our friends over at Athens Ford. They take great care of us. Thanks to Brian Clower and the folks over there for being a sponsor of the website and the podcast. If it weren't for Athens Ford, we would not be doing the podcast. So if you actually enjoy listening to Coach break stuff down, be sure the next time you need a vehicle, you swing out and check out our friends at Athens Ford. All of their vehicles come with a lifetime powertrain warranty, new and pre-owned. Of course, any pre-owned under 80,000 miles, which is just about everything they have over there. And if you want an easy experience, I had somebody the other day down at Pensacola say they're using Carvana or something like that. I'm like, look, you want an easy, simple process of buying a car? Try the easy purchase online function over at Athens Ford. You pick your vehicle, personalize how your payment, you can set it up how you want it, when and stuff like that. You get the Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in, get that pre-approved, and then just swing by the dealership and finalize it. A couple things to sign and you're out the door with your new vehicle. It's the easiest, simplest online shopping. Of course, when you go to the Athens Ford website, you're going to get a $250 discount on any vehicle. And if you're a student, there's a $500 discount. If you're in the military, a veteran or active service, there's a $500 discount. So all sorts of great deals out there on the Athens Ford website. Check it out when you get a chance. And they, again, talk about people who know what they're doing. And I also want to mention our friends over at Aaron Overhead Doors, A-A-R-O-N, Aaron Overhead Doors. Last week when we were out at Academia Brewing Company, I was talking to Matt, and he's like, look, I need to get a new door in this wall over here. I said, well, why don't we get a roll-up door so that you could have it open on a beautiful day like it is today in Athens, Georgia. You'd be able to have like the breeze coming through and people could go outside. And he said, that's a great idea. And he immediately got on the phone and called our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors. They're going to come out and do a price estimate for him. You can do the same thing. You can book online. You can say, hey, I need a garage door quote inspection. You just put in your name, phone number, zip code, submit it, contact them for free. They will give you a free quote. Very simple, huge service area, basically most of Northeast Georgia. I won't go through the whole list, but basically if you're within 2-hour drive, 3-hour drive of Buford, you are in their service area. So they will come out and take care of you and do a great job of it. They do a fantastic initial contact, great work through the actual product production and service. And then they do the follow-up. So from soup to nuts. They take care of you with great customer service because that is their whole purpose. They are a customer service company, and they just happen to do garage doors. So big shout out to Athens Ford and Aaron Overhead Doors for sponsoring our show today. And again, like we said, Daniel Jeremiah knows the stuff. These guys know their stuff as well.
Coach, I wanted to ask you real quick, going into kind of piggybacking off of our last topic, last thing on it. You know, I know in the past, Georgia's held these mock pro days, not even, you know, in the lead up to this, but just preparing guys for, you know, what that situation is going to be like. Here's the drills you're going to have to go through. How armed do you think that puts these guys going into this? I mean, I think that it's a huge benefit to any college who's already been doing that.
Yeah, that's for sure. I felt like when Kirby did that after, you know, the 1 year where we had a lot of guys go out early, he felt like that some of them had some really good info and others didn't feel, others probably were whistling Dixie, so to speak, and didn't really know whether they could or not. So, you know, I think what he's been able to do is put his whole team through a mock combine, so they would have something to look at if they decided to come out the next year. So these guys have already done that last spring and they'll do it again. I'm talking about the ones that aren't going to be in the one for the pro day. So they'll have that advantage of just like anything, you've been doing those drills and you know what to look for as far as the shuttle, the exact way to do the vertical jump, the way to do the, you know, working on your stance and start for the 40 yard dash of the lineman, particularly for the 20 yard split that they get, you know, because that most linemen aren't be judged on 40 as much as 20. So it definitely a good question there, Jake. And I think Kirby, again, on top of it, preparing you for just like the drills you do in practice, prepare you for the game, the drills you do for the combine, help you get ready for your pro day.
Yeah, I thought that, yeah, you know, I think that people just forget sometimes that they have already done that. You know, it's something that they put the players through and put them through those paces. So I think that's a huge advantage. Georgia, obviously, a big focus on, you know, NFL and the next level for these guys. I think any team that's that kind of minded and has put those things in has really put their players at a big advantage given how things are going to go this year. But I wanted to touch on the next thing, and that's spring practice, which is getting fired up a week from today. You know, I think that we talked about these guys, how they're going to land in the draft, but, you know, obviously we're concerned about who's coming back, who's going to be performing in spring practice. You know, who are some of the guys, and this is for everyone, but Coach, we'll start with you. Who are some of the guys that you think really need a big spring or could really have a big spring and be ready to deliver on their potential?
Well, starting on offense, I think running back-wise, you need Milton to come out there and establish himself, get a lot of reps. I mean, White and Cook, you know what you got there. We need Milton to pound the rock and see how he looks in traffic. And work on pass pro and all that stuff. Obviously, McIntosh is ready too. So, I mean, Milton at running back, at receiver, how much can Blaylock and Roseme do to get out there and just do straight ahead, but at least do some ball drills? Tight end, what's going to happen there with Brock Bowers? How's he going to be able to step in? We know Fitzpatrick and Washington can do it, but can Brock step in there and do it? Offensive line, certainly Jones, Ratledge, Mims, Willock, those guys right there, step up, do the job. Then you go into a situation on, is that all the positions on offense? Quarterback, I forgot, you know, we got quarterback, we got a situation with who's going to be the backup quarterback. And also JT continued to improve and work on his footwork now that he's had this other operation. But who's going to step up? We know what Bennett can do. Can Beck continue to improve? What we're going to see out of Vandergriff coming off his injury, and now he's starting to rehab and come back. So those are question marks there. Defensive line, we certainly got all kind of people there to work with and just a lot of competition there. Outside linebacker Nolan Smith, step up and show what you can do. We know what Anderson's going to do being right there in the mix pretty quickly. And then secondary corner, we got to see what Kimber, Speed, and what can Ringo do right off the bat, Breeny at star, and those safeties will be okay. I think our special teams are just really loaded, and we'll see how they go. But without any notes, that's about as good as I can do. Right.
You said he just dropped that off the cuff.
Well, I was going to say, does anybody have anyone left, I guess? I mean, that was a pretty fair summation there.
Question. I'm holy crap.
Yeah. I can elaborate on one. Okay. Because one that came to my mind was actually Stetson Bennett, because I do think he's in a unique spot where his spot was taken from him in the middle of the season last year by JT Daniels. JT is the starting quarterback right now, or at least it appears that way from everything that we've seen. But he also is staring the future in the face for Georgia with Brock Vandergriff now in the room. So that's a very unique spot for Stetson. However, in the spring is when the backup quarterback is used a lot, because they can get a lot of the receivers reps, and G-Day comes around, they'll be getting a lot of playing time. And it's not necessarily what he can do performance-wise. I think we've seen that. To me, it's about what his attitude is, being in that kind of spot, saying, this guy took your job, this guy's coming for your job, what are you going to do in terms of your attitude and your effort? And Stetson seems like he's a hard worker and will put in that kind of mentality. But that's going to be crucial to see. That's going to be big for coaches to know that they have him, to trust him in that spot, regardless of what's happening around him.
I think you made a good point there, and I just want to add this little nugget there. We saw in the fall, where throughout the fall camp, Kirby said, we know what Stetson can do. We're looking at these other guys. We know what Stetson can do. We're looking at these other guys. So we didn't see hardly any of him in fall camp. I think, to be fair to Stetson in the spring, he's going to have to have an idea that he's going to have those opportunities that you just said, or he's going to probably look about whether he's going to stick around, you know, because all of a sudden, is this going to be like last year? The only way I'm going to get to play is if nobody else is left. And, you know, I think that's going to be important, how he's handled and everybody around the website seemed to think, well, you know, we know what Stetson can do, but he can do a heck of a lot. I mean, he can win SEC football games with the right supporting cast. He's a lot better in there with there were
Pickens playing
and all that. But I don't want to be too harsh on the fact that what happened to him in last fall. I can understand where Coach Munkin and Kirby were coming from, because they didn't have any idea what the other guys could do, because we didn't have spring practice. So he had to work JT and Newman and all those guys in there. But now I think if Beck or Vandergriff become the second quarterback, it'll be because they beat Bennett out. They'll have to beat him out, don't you think, with his experience?
Absolutely. And remember, you know, people go back to that Florida game where Georgia couldn't complete a pass. Bennett on the first set series, he looked fantastic. Then he got his shoulder caved in, you know, and he's out there. He's a wounded duck. You know, he's injured. Now he's healthy. And I think he says, look, coach, I beat a ranked Auburn team. I beat a ranked Tennessee team. I was winning games for you. I saved your bacon, you know, in the Arkansas game. I was winning football games for you. I had a lead against Alabama. And then when we went out and struggled against, I think it was Kentucky and against Florida, we didn't have George Pickens out there. Then you bring in the new guy and George Pickens comes back and, well, hell, I can throw to him. Anybody can throw to George Pickens. So, again, I just think he needs to know that he's going to get a fair shot at either the number one, number two spot. And I think that's a guy that needs to or a strong spring would help him. The other guys I'd like to see have, I don't want to say a breakout spring, but guys who could kind of build up their reputation, make a move here. We have 3 5 stars on defense that we just don't hear as much about. You don't hear as much about Nolan Smith. You know, Adam Anderson was kind of the third down guy last year. Trayvon Walker, they're all talented. We see the plays they make, but do any of them have the same reputation, the same intimidation factor that Azeez Ojulari did last year? When you would talk to guys at other sites who were, you know, when we're talking to the guys at Tennessee and they're like, hey, what can you tell me about Azeez Ojulari? What can you tell me about these other guys? They very seldom mentioned those 3 players, and it's nothing against them. It's just, you know, they're kind of waiting, they're biding their time. But I would like to see the Nolan Smith, the Trayvon Walker, the Adam Anderson get on those preseason all SEC teams, you know, have that kind of buzz about them, have teams worried about them, have offensive coordinators nervous about facing those guys. You know that what Jordan Davis is going to bring you. You've seen Devontae Wyatt do his thing. I think Jalen Carter is, you know, this is only year two. But let's see where those five-star guys, when they finally come into their own. And I think this spring would be a good opportunity to launch them into that kind of that talk, if you will.
Yeah, I think
I'm going to ask this question to Jake because I knew he was going to throw something in. I just saw an article where Pro Football Focus ranked the top 10 players at every position in the United States coming back for next fall. Georgia had two players in the top 10 at two positions. Do you know who those would be? Obviously, Pickens is one of them. Who was the other one?
I would assume Jordan Davis.
That's what I would have thought, but he wasn't listed as a top 10 D lineman.
Wow.
So the other guy was Sawyer. He was listed as one of the top 10 linemen in the country. So I would have thought that we would have had more players in the top 10, but we have a lot of no names, so to speak, from a standpoint of all-star players based on what Roddy just said. But we got a lot of really good players, but as far as the way they're perceived nationally, and far as all SEC players, when you look at the preseason all SEC teams, maybe Jacoby Dean will be on there, maybe Jordan Davis, but not a lot of guys on our team. And really overwhelming thing that concerned me, they didn't list JT as one of the top 10 quarterbacks returning. So they had the guy from Coastal Carolina. That doesn't mean that they're screwed up, but you know, our man Brent Rollins, they're all over that Pro Football Focus, so that'll get everybody's
I think that when we're talking about those guys, Roddy, you kind of got one of mine, and that's Adam Anderson. I think that Adam Anderson, look, it's kind of put up or shut up time, you know, like, are you that guy that everybody thought you were all along? Are you more than just a specialist? And I think that you've got to find that replacement for Aziz, a guy who can bring that intimidation factor, you know, all three downs and get back there and create havoc. Adam is expected to be that guy. He's been expected to be that guy. I think that it just comes down to this, you know, this spring and this fall in terms of if he's able to seize that opportunity. The other guy that I think not necessarily, primed for a breakout, because I think that he's on a great trajectory anyway, but I think that this is a really good chance for Jalen Carter to really build off of what he did last fall. I think that he's a guy who, you know, came in the summer last year, so he didn't have the advantage of, you know, going through the workouts or, you know, I know that there wasn't spring practice, but he wasn't in the weight rooms over there. He wasn't getting the nutrition that these guys are getting. So what can a full spring mean to a guy like that who kind of was a late arrival to campus? I think it can be big for him. I think it can be big for his chances moving forward. And then certainly I think that the cornerback position, how it comes down, I think could well be decided in the spring. I think that, you know, you may look at who seizes that number two spot. I think we all expect that Kelee Ringo is going to win one of those starting spots, but you know, is it going to be Jalen Kimber? Is it going to be Nylon Green? And how do those guys look when you put them up against the ones and all of a sudden, you know, they're getting those reps? I think that that's going to be a crucial one as well. But for me, it's Adam Anderson all day. I think that he is the most important spring of anybody on this team. And, another one, though, that Coach mentioned as well, I think Kenny Mack, you know, I think a lot of people are talking about Zamir and James, you know, Kendall on the rise. Where does that leave Kenny McIntosh? I think that he's got to really set himself apart, do some certain things. I think that he could really work on, or not work on, but continue to flourish and show what he could do as a receiver out of the backfield, and that could benefit him as well. So a lot to prove for a lot of guys, I think, no doubt about it. Arian Smith, another one that I'm really interested to see. How does he do with that structure and that time to kind of work through his reps, away from injury?
Coach, did that article go into the top 10 kickers and punters as well? Because I feel like Georgia would have a top 10.
Oh, yeah. They didn't list those, but that was And you, in the meantime, you could look that up, Dane, and read out those top 10 quarterbacks. But I got a question for all of us, because I don't ever get to ask any questions, but who would you say, I'm not talking about the five best athletes, of the people returning on our team, who are the five best players on our team coming back for this year?
Jordan Davis, number one for me. I think
you got five. Come on, give it 15 seconds. Talk.
All right, give me Jordan Davis. Give me JT Daniel.
Give me George Pickens.
Hey, wait a minute. You don't interrupt, Roddy. You get to do
it. Well, you said 15 seconds. I wasn't sure if we had to get all
him. Right. Him.
Jordan Davis, JT Daniels, George Pickens. I'm going to go with Lewis Seen, I think. And I'm going to go with Jamari Sawyer. That'll be my five.
Yeah. I'm going with Jordan Davis, Sawyer, Cook, Pickens, and Dean.
Dean's a good pick. I could swap him out for Scene and not lose much in mind. Roddy, who you got?
I'll take coach's first four, then add Kelee Ringo instead at the fifth spot. I think Kelee Ringo
would put up. He's never played here.
He's taking him on the projection. Dane, who you got?
I mean, when he's putting up 23 mile an hour, I'm mad.
We're talking about five best that have played, okay?
Five best that have played, okay.
All right. I'll go George Pickens is one, Jordan Davis two, Jamari Sawyer three, N'Kobe Dean four, Jalen Carter five.
Yeah. Ooh, I like Carter.
All right, now I'm going to ask you another one. Who are the top strongest guys in our team, top five? We got to get some info out to these people. Let's go.
I mean,
back in the day, back when you were coaching and Mark Rick, we would have we would arrange to get some of those strength and conditioning numbers back when, before they did an investigation to find
out
who.
It doesn't matter. You bring that up. Who cares?
I'm saying there was some interesting stuff back there. It's tough to find out nowadays who's the strongest guy because they don't post.
Them on the hoof. Who would you say?
Oh, looking at him on the hoof. Give me Jordan Davis, Jamari Sawyer, Zion Logue, Devin Willick, and Clay Webb.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with I like that list. I'm going to take Clay Webb off, though, and I'm going to sub in, did you say Jalen Carter, Roddy?
Yeah.
Damn it. Okay.
Actually, now I've already forgot who I've said.
Yeah, I did too. You said Zion Logue, so that kind of threw me.
Jordan Davis is powerful, but he's not one of the best. I mean, I got Dean Sawyer, Carter, Quay Walker, and Nolan Smith.
I could see that.
You're going pound for pound. I was going. Just
you're playing Ben Cleveland awards.
Yeah,
stronger than Ajax.
Yeah,
I have this top 10 returning quarterbacks from PFF. If you want me to run those down really fast,
let's hear them.
Number 10, Kendon Slovis from USC. Number 9, Miles Brennan from LSU. Number 8, DJ Uiagalelei from Clemson. I got that right. Yes. Number 7, Grayson McCall, Coastal Carolina. Number 6, Matt Corral, Ole Miss. Number 5, Michael Penix Jr. from Indiana. Number 4, Dylan Gabriel from UCF. Number 3, De'Aaron King at Miami. Number 2, Sam Howell at North Carolina. And number 1, Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma. My primary takeaway, Gus Malzahn left Auburn and now has a better quarterback according to PFF.
My primary takeaway is Spencer Rattler might get beaten out as the number 1 quarterback by Williams.
I could see it as well. And, you know, I think that it's crazy to hear that list and to hear how many of those guys Georgia was involved with at some point too. You know, how many of those guys they recruited. Dylan Gabriel, I think a lot of people forget, was one of those guys who kind of came down to the wire ahead of early signing day a couple years back and really considered Georgia highly.
He was here. I mean, I remember telling Roddy off the record that after the practice on Thursday that Coley flew to Hawaii to watch the guy play and then came back in time for the game. I mean, incredible. And then they had that kid in, and I thought we were going to get him.
Yeah, I did too. I really did. I felt good about their chances. Obviously, though, he made a good call for himself. He's got a great opportunity there at UCF.
And, you know, look at all the guys that we've signed here, but all the ones we were really close on too. I mean, we were close on Williams. I mean,
you were close on Trevor Lawrence.
I have a hard time believing, though, that, you know, listen, Keaton Slovis, obviously he won the job at USC. Part of that was what caused JT Daniel to end up in Athens. But I have a hard time believing that he's a better quarterback. I mean, realistically, overall, I think that he does some interesting things. But, yeah, there were some names on that list that I don't think I would take ahead of. I don't know that I'd take Penix over JT Daniel.
They're taking it based on the whole year.
I'm just saying, if you're at Ole Miss and you've got Matt Corral out there and you got Plumlee on the sideline, you got a quarterback controversy.
Here's another one. One of them signed here and was coming, and the other one wanted to come, and we didn't take him.
Yeah, right? No question.
Didn't Corral want to come?
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. I mean, he would. He wanted to go. It seemed like anywhere but Ole Miss. Anyway, USC was involved really heavily. He wanted to go to Florida pretty bad. I believe it was a Florida commit at one time. And then Georgia kind of came down to, are you going to take him or Justin Fields? Obviously, they took Fields. I'll be honest with you, too. I was wrong about Matt Corral. Not a guy I was super high on coming out of high school. There were some concerns behind the scenes. And I will say he's done a fabulous job for himself.
He really has.
Yeah.
I'm not crapping on the kid, because you remember he came all the way to Atlanta, mm-hmm. to do that Rivals 5-star camp, you know, and we had him and Trevor and Justin Fields there, just absolute loaded, you know, 3 5-stars. They all went head to head in the rain. It was fantastic. Great kid. Gave us a great interview. Talked as long as we wanted to. Always been rooting for him. But remember when you had the kid committed to Georgia, Plumlee, and just the stuff he does. My point being, that list, there are a couple guys on that list that they're involved in. They may not be the best quarterback on their team. So to say they're the best 10 in the United States is very interesting. I do think I'm really expecting a fantastic year out of King down in Miami. I think that's going to be fun.
Coming off a tough injury, though.
Yeah, I'm just fingers crossed, because that kid is fun to watch. I really hope he tears it up down there.
I'm telling you, Matt, one thing that Jake could help us, an inordinate amount of transfers from Miami. And I mean, transfer you, they got so many guys in there now. I mean, they're just trying to go that route, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that seems like how they're going to try to rebuild the roster, and they're going to, you know, take all comers. if you're in the portal and you got a shred of talent, we got a spot for you on South Beach. And, interestingly enough, too, I'll mention, got to see Manny Diaz this weekend. He was out at the Under Armour camp in Miami. Normally coaches can't attend, but if they have a son who's participating, they certainly can. His son in the linebacker group. So Manny Diaz with a little bit of recon, if you will, down there in South Beach, kind of an exclusive look. It was that was cool to see.
Speaking of exclusives, before we jump into I want you to talk about going to Miami, because you went down there. I think we were the only Georgia site that covers University of Georgia that was actually at that camp. Spoke to some guys down there, but I have to remind folks, today's the 9th of March. On the 14th through the 16th, you need to go out to your local EuroPie and get one of the 10-inch pizzas for $3.14. So any of their vegetarian, keto, gluten-free, plant-based, low-carb, low-cal, Ishka, Southern Heat, Natural, the Nat, all their legendary pizzas, any that you want to make, you can customize them any way you want, but Pi Day is coming up, 3.14, March 14th, and from the 14th through the 16th, you can go out to any of the EuroPie locations to get a 10-inch pizza for $3.14. Can't beat it. You don't have to actually go on the 14th. You can go on the 15th. You can go on the 16th. So next week, which stinks, I'll be out of town, but I'm going to have to put in a request, you know.
A sad realization you're having in real time. I mean,
it kind of breaks my heart. I'm like, this sucks. But if you get a chance, swing by any of the EuroPi locations next week for the Pi Day. They've been doing it since their inception, and it's always a fantastic thing. And of course, if you can do it on the app, you get points there. Today's double points Tuesday, so if you're thinking about getting a pizza today or one of the custom salads or custom pastas or the sandwiches they have out there, order it on the app. You can customize it completely through the app, and then you just go by and pick it up. It's fantastic. So I also want to mention our friends out at Academia Brewing Company. They have so many new beers out right now, and I think Jake will have to come back down and check out the Kevin's Tears Double Barrel Barley Wine. I can't wait to try that one. They have the Death Ripper, the Hazy IPA, 6% alcohol by volume. That's a good-looking one. But this is one I really thought that Jake would like. It's the Unsquare Dance, 6.5 Experimental IPA. So this juicy little gem pours with a hazy-like goldenrod and a bright white head. Aromas of tropical mango and papaya are balanced by soft herbal flavors and a smooth and effervescent finish. It just sounds like this was made for Jake Rue. So
pick me up, please.
Three new beers out of Academia Brewing Company. And of course, they have their Trivia Tuesday. So when you get a chance, swing by, go by their Facebook page. They have a lot of great stuff on the Academia Brewing Company site over there. Jake, we mentioned that you went down to Miami this past weekend. You talked to some big Georgia targets that we don't normally hear that much from. So you had some exclusive news. And normally we don't like to give it all away on the podcast. You know that we do have a subscription-based website where we put most of our recruiting nuggets, but go ahead and give the folks some freebies.
Well, you know, I think the biggest one for sure, and the guy that I told Roddy even before I went, I was like, listen, if we get Shamar Stewart, it will make the whole trip worth it. He's not a kid who answers the phone. I've texted the phone number I've got for him. I said, hey, is this Shamar? The only reply was, nope. So I'm pretty sure that is his phone number, just FYI. That is the one he gave me. But at the same time, just not a kid who does a lot of media, doesn't do a lot of interviews, you know, just a bit of an enigma down there in South Florida. And some of those South Florida kids really can be. I mean, they kind of stick to themselves. They're not about the media. You know, you kind of go two directions down there. You don't have necessarily the guys who you can just dial up anytime. You've got some guys who are super flashy and they do a lot of it. And then you got mostly guys who are quiet and just kind of go about their business. Shamar definitely in that top 50 defensive end in the nation, top 50 player in the nation, I should mention actually. But four-star guy, I believe he's 36th in the nation, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, 6'5", 250 plus pounds. I mean, when you see the kid, he's one of those guys, you know, I know Coach and I have talked a lot about this before. He's one of those kids that the eye test is clear. You could take somebody who doesn't know football and say, who do you think we're here to watch? And they're going to point to that kid. But had a chance to talk with Shamar and, you know, Georgia, I think, really deeply in this thing. I'll tell you this, the people that I've spoken with and the people that I spoke to in Miami said that the feel around him right now, he's in Opa-locka, Florida, is that he's going to end up out of state. And so that would be a huge get for Georgia. LSU's heavily in this thing. Alabama's heavily in this thing. I mean, all the major players, Clemson's right there as well. And with him pushing it, he told us his plan is to commit on signing day in February. So he's planning on taking it all the way out. We'll see if that happens. I think at this point, you know, everybody's kind of just spitballing in terms of when they're going to decide. But if he takes it that far, pretty much anybody's game. But I'll tell you this, I think if it were today, I'd put my money on Georgia. I think that Georgia really has a strong shot with that kid and loves what he's about. Outside of him, I had a chance to see Pierce Sperling, 2023 commit for Georgia. Big, long kid. I mean, another guy that if you were like, you know, who are we here to watch? You might point to Pierce because he was a full head above everybody else in the crowd. I mean, he's legitimately, you know, 6'6", almost 6'7", I'd say. A little skinny right now, but he's in basketball shape, and I think that that's to be expected. And just a key recruiter for Georgia. I mean, was sporting his Georgia gear after the camp. He's been on several guys, said he's on Justice Haynes, said he's on Justin Benton. So really putting in work for Georgia in that 2023 class. I liked what I saw out of him too. If you haven't seen it, go over, check it out on Twitter. He made an incredible one-handed catch with a kid just draped all over him. So great catch radius on that kid. I'm going to be interested to see where Pearson's up at the next level, to be honest with you, though. Whether it's I don't know if he's a tight end. I don't know if he's a receiver. You know, he's kind of in between right now. He said he wants to play at 225. I could see him even bulking up past that. I mean, he's rail thin right now. So Todd Hartley's his main contact at Georgia, so that makes me think they're thinking tight end, but he's – one of those guys you can flex out into the slot. I mean, he played there the other day and did an admirable job, I thought. Brandon Ennis, another guy that people need to know in 2023, blew everybody away and did last year. I mean, this was a kid that for years we've heard, you know, he's going to be a bona fide five-star. Came in, did the same thing this week, was lights out in Miami. Excellent hands. I thought it was very interesting because he mentioned, you know, that he's close with Georgia. Got a tie with Kenny McIntosh, plays at the same school that Kenny Mack did. And so he said, you know, we're always catching up. We're talking all the time. Kenny's told me what a great place it is. But he noted he really wants to see Georgia start throwing it around a little bit more. He said that would be something that could really kind of catch his interest a little bit more. He thinks that they're a little bit reserved in the pass game. And so, you know, I think that the kids notice as well. Pierce Sperling told me, he's heard from Todd Monken that they're going to start throwing the rock around the yard this year. So be interesting to see how all that comes to fruition. But overall, great camp day down there in Miami. Always beautiful to go check it out. And thank you, Roddy, for sending me and for the unlimited budget, which I will be sending for expense sheets for shortly. Yeah. But no, you know, it was a great day, and Georgia, listen, in on some of the top talent in South Florida, around the Sunshine State, and, you know, kind of just the beginnings of camp season, but always fun to get back to it for sure.
Who we got in South Florida now? Who's got the South Florida area?
You know, it sounds like a little bit of a mixed bag to me. I mean, it sounds like you got everybody kind of working down there right now. I think that they realize how important that is. Now, one thing that I thought was really impressive and really interesting was that one guy that almost everybody down there mentioned was Kirby Smart. And I think that you're seeing maybe, you know, with the loss of James Coley and some of the losses that they've had in South Florida, how do you kind of replace the gravitas of a guy who, you know, is so endeared to that area in Coley? Bring out your biggest gun, and that's Kirby Smart. He's close with Shamar Stewart. He's talked to Pierce Sperling. He's talked to, I mean, all of the guys that we spoke to the other day said, you know, Kirby's about as involved with me as any head coach is. You know, Shamar gave him an 8 on the rating. I said, how hard is he recruiting you? He said, I'd give him an 8 out of 10. I said, well, are there any 10s? He said, no, there sure aren't. So, you know, Kirby's putting the work in down there. You know, everybody's got a hand, though. Todd Hartley's working down there. Dan Lanning's working down there. Glenn Schumann's working down there. So just a lot of involvement. Really, it's a staff-wide effort, I think.
We saw just Coach Aday was actually dropping. Jamil Aday was dropping new offers in Florida as well. So it's you're right about the whole staff approach.
He's a Florida boy too. That's the thing. You know, people may forget, but I'll tell you this as well. And I thought that this was really interesting. If you want to give some love to a former player, shout out to Mark Dees, head coach down there. I'm not even going to try to say the name of that place. I had the kid pronounce it for me, and I said, dude, I'm going to have to go home and practice. But I'm just calling it Toho for now. He's down there in Toho. Demario Tolan is the young man, 6'3". He's a little bit on the slender side, probably a 215, 220 guy right now. But Georgia really likes him as an outside linebacker. And he said, when I got that offer, Coach Dees said, listen, No need to wait. You need to be a Bulldog. Let's make it happen. Let's get it going. I said, do you think he's going to come on the trip with you? And he said, definitely. He's going to try to stow away and come join me on the my visit to Athens. So Mark D's putting in that work for the Georgia Bulldogs down there in South Florida.
Shout out to Mark D's. I remember going down and interviewing him at that same high school. And I think, was it BJ Butler? I don't remember. There were two guys that Georgia offered, and we drove down and interviewed them in the greater Orlando area. And Mark wound up coming to Georgia, played 4 years, a lot of special teams work. Not a superstar, but just a great teammate, great contributor. And then all of a sudden was like the defensive coordinator. Now is a head coach. I think he's maybe 26. I mean, he's a young cat. He's jumped way up in the coaching ranks, and he's always been a great guy to interview, great guy to talk to, and he wears his Georgia pride on his sleeve. And he's down in Orlando. He'll let everybody know how much Georgia means to him. And now that he's got a guy that Georgia's interested in, that kid's going to hear about Georgia every day, I guarantee it. So shout out to Mark Dees, just a good man, a great player and a good man. You know, a good player and a great man. Get that backwards. He's just a great guy. Love him to death.
Some of that landscape has changed in South Florida, especially for defensive backs. So I think that's why Kirby Smart is very much needed to get Georgia in some of those conversations. Because man, when Ed Reed is there, it just makes things a whole lot tougher for everybody else.
No question. Yeah. You bring in T-Rob, who's got to UCF now, who's been in Miami, who's had those connections he's built up down there. Yeah, it's a tough landscape down there in the Florida area for sure. I mean, it's tough for anybody to pull talent out of there. But Georgia doing about as well as anybody could.
Yeah. We had a couple questions there, and I want to mention the one that Joja Dog, you said this was for everybody. Who's a player you feel on the team needs to step up and assert themselves as a starter / productive player? And I think we kind of addressed that one early on with our who needs to be the spring guys. But I did want to kind of touch on that real quick, if everybody would give us one. The player you feel needs to assert themselves, to me that always sounds like who needs to kind of take charge, who needs to be that leader. And I want everybody to give me one player they feel that could really – I don't say rally the troops, but hold others accountable. Make sure everybody's doing what I thought Coach had a great point last week about touching the line. If you miss the line once, you'll miss the line twice. If you miss the line twice, you'll miss the line four times. Coach, who out there needs to be sure that his teammates are touching the line?
You know, I think we got the established leaders now. So it's a little bit tough not to negate your question, but to me, White is already, and Salyer, they've already established the fact that they're are leaders on our team, the fact they came back and what they're doing. So as far as just guys that need to become leaders, I would think seen on defense, just because he hadn't been a starter till last year, now assumed the role that LeCount had back there. And the same thing with N'Kobe Dean taking over for Monty Rice. There's an inside backer type guy. Salyer will do it in the line. And then JT on offense, just continue to build on your repertoire of what you were able to do the last four games.
I agree.
Who's the first player to touch the football every play on offense?
The center.
That's where I would go. I would say Warren Erickson. And it's a bit of a tease to an article I'm going to publish later this week. I got our staff members at UGASports.com to give me their starting five offensive linemen for the game against Clemson and the starting five offensive linemen for the game against Georgia Tech. And we'll see how smart we are, because I'm going to gather those together. I'm not going to say who said what, but just as a staff, where our heads are. And I think that there's a lot of intrigue at the center position, because I would say the majority of staff members on our site said that the guy that starts the season will not be the starter by Georgia Tech. So Warren Erickson, I think there's some pressure there.
Well, you definitely did a tremendous job of teasing your own story there, but you didn't answer the question that the guy asked. You really feel like Erickson's going to be the leader of our team?
Well, I'm saying that he's the first guy to touch the ball, and I'm saying that replacing a center is a tough thing. So if he can provide leadership, and as Roddy says, go touch the line every time, it could be massive for Georgia's offense. And I mean, do I think he's going to be a vocal leader and rally the troops? Probably not. But
I mean, I think they nailed it, because the whole point of Georgia's question was, you know, not so much – I didn't want to use the term leader, because he says who needs to step up and assert themselves as a starter slash productive player.
Oh, that's I understand that, but yeah. – As far as the way I heard you say it was a leader, and to me, yeah. Salyer has got about a 100-yard start on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, for me,
it's to say who's going to be the productive player, you know, as a starter, who's going to claim that spot.
And I think, right. I just, Mr. Controversy here. I like to make sure that Dane, everybody knows that he did it. That deal last week when I said, everybody just keep your five starters and we'll see how it comes next year. Dane's already made a story out of it. Everybody put their group, their list out there, but no names beside it, right?
Hey, hey, Coach, let me tell you two of the guys that did not submit their starting fives because they're on this call with us. Yeah.
That's pitiful. Flackers.
Fire them both. Hey, Bobby,
dropped a dime on us, man. Damn, man.
How hard is that to do?
No, I will. I listen, but to go off his question, I wanted to say, I mentioned Adam Anderson earlier as a guy I think needs to seize the reins. For me, if you're talking about a guy who needs to assert himself, it's Nolan Smith. He's one of those guys that can rally the troops. He's a guy who has that magnetic personality, and he can get out there and provide some of that juice that they may be missing with some of these departures.
Yep. Yeah, you stole my guy. That's a guy. And that's, I seen that question earlier was what led me to think about Nolan Smith, Trayvon Walker, you know, Adam Anderson. We were talking about guys that could step up this spring. I was thinking of that question, you know, where those five-star guys go that are, you know, we should be talking about. And Clay Webb being one of those as well. You know, where's he now that he's healthy? He was injured last year. He's healthy. Maybe he could assert himself. Again, we don't talk about him a whole lot because Georgia has such good guards and, you know, center options. But that's a guy that you want to see assert himself this spring as well. We have a question from
Paul. I'd like to see someone in the return game too, and maybe that's Karis Jackson, maybe that's Arian Smith, but you know, since Mecole Hardman left, there hasn't been a consistent, oh, this could be a home run every time guy, and I think there's an opportunity for growth there for Georgia.
Yeah, and Karis has been very, very close on a couple of those. So we got a question from Pollock. He says, what are y'all hearing on Kendrick? I don't know that we're hearing anything yet. I think that Georgia's
seems like a holding pattern.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect anything to happen anytime soon. Georgia's going to have to look into his background. I mean, when you see a player that's dismissed from another team, you don't immediately just roll out the red carpet. You look into that. But I know Georgia's interested, but it has to be a situation where he's has to fit. You know, you have a guy who is a potential first round cornerback. Georgia needs cornerbacks, so of course they are very interested. But you just can't say, oh well, let's take him because why'd he leave Clemson? So they're looking into it, but that's all I've heard, unless you guys have heard anything different.
No, not at all.
Okay. Any other questions? I want to give a big shout out to Tristan West, Scott Harris, Henry Majors, Mitchell Fletcher, and all the folks who are on our live, Chad Davis, all the folks that are watching on the YouTube live chat over there. We appreciate it. Thanks for telling us where you're watching from. And if you would, leave a review for us. That would be lovely. Any other questions we need to pick up, Jake?
I think we're wrapped on that for today. Just a quick send-off nugget here for everybody. Just a weird little piece of information that came across just now. The All-American Bowl, formerly the Army game, now the Adidas All-American Bowl has announced three new additions to the selection committee. One of them, Long Beach's own Snoop Dogg. So Snoop Dogg now picking players for the All-American game.
One of the things you're going to do at halftime, smoke weed.
Look at that, what I was drinking.
That was a spit take. He got a spit take from Roddy.
Please don't be high. Oh my god, that's some interesting. Jake, you were at the Under Armour game or Under Armour camp this past week. Just another tease, if you will, and starting in April and May, the Rivals camps are going to jump back up, so we should have that announcement coming soon.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's good. And I'm also glad to see that Elite 11 is out and running. You know, they had that last week at Carrollton and places around the country. So it's going to be you see how Gunner does in that, and it's going to be good to see all those quarterbacks get back in the deal and throw into those receivers. And I'm sure if they end up having it up in Nashville or having it at Dallas, that our boy Jake will be going out there.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, Jay goes a lot of places, but it's good to, I mean, as much as it hurts our travel budget and the ridiculous expense reports that I get from Jake Roos, it's nice to see him back on the trail again. It's nice to know that the Rivals camps are coming back. It's nice to have spring camp again. They're not going to let us into spring camp. We know that, but it'll be nice. Starting next week, we will have practice tidbits for you. We will be able to have interviews with the players, interviews with the coaches via Zoom. So a lot of good stuff coming next week. The weather's beautiful. It's getting better. The COVID cases are going down. The excitement for Georgia football is going through the roof, and it's well warranted. So be sure next week to tune in at noon. I won't be here, but these guys will be, and they will have another great edition of UGA Sports Live for you. Anything else we need to touch on before we go, guys?
I think Coach stole the show.
Yeah. Let's talk about a couple of players that he runs through the entire roster. Okay. And, you know, this will be another one of those things that we make Jason Butt write up and put on the website tomorrow. So be sure to check out ujsports.com tomorrow for a recap of the show. And, of course, again, leave us a review. It means a lot to us. Rank the show. It helps us in the algorithms when it pops up and says, hey, and
go mention ahead. Our boy Ronnie Brown, too, we.
Oh, yeah, I forgot aboard Ronnie Brown down at DR Construction Maintenance in Liberty County. Again, we were talking a lot about Richard LeCount earlier in the show. Richard LeCount's from Liberty County, and Ronnie Brown, the family, they know that family very well, and he is a diehard dog fan. There's not a bigger dog fan out there than Ronnie Brown. So if you need any construction in the Liberty County, Bryan County, or Long County area, reach out to DR Construction Maintenance. They will take care of you. Any remodeling work you need done, reach out to them. They will do it for you. All right, guys, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Be sure to tune in next week at noon.